Our scripture reading today will come from Psalm 128. Psalm 128, and I'll be reading as well Psalm 127. If you turn to the back of your outlines, you see I've placed there Psalm 127 and 128. They are companion psalms, we call them. That means they're closely connected together. And I wanted to read both today by way of context as we look at God's Word together from Psalm 128. So we'll begin our scripture reading from Psalm 127 and then Psalm 128. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant Word. Psalm 127. A song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sheep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like the arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And then Psalm 128. A song of ascents. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. That's the reading of God's Word today from Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. I invite you to follow along in our text, but also on the outline that I put in your bulletins today. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, it's become a New Year's tradition. The last few years, on the first Sunday, or one of the first Sundays of the new year, I've been preaching on one of the Psalms of Ascents. In the book of Psalms, the Psalms of Ascents are a series of psalms that go starting with Psalm 120 all the way to Psalm 134. And it was 9 years ago now that we started out a new year with a sermon on Psalm 120, and we slowly worked our way year by year all the way to Psalm 128 this morning. And it's always amazing to me how each year the Psalm of Ascents that the Lord puts before us is one that fits our situation in the world at the beginning of a new year. What are the things you should think about as a new year begins? You think about the future. You think about what comes in the future in the new year. Some of us think about future things in terms of politics and the moral decline of the world around us, and we pray about the future, but there's not much we can do about those things. And so Psalm 128 helps us to put our focus in the right place on where God wants our focus to be. Psalm 128 puts our focus at the beginning of the new year on the Lord and the three things that he has blessed all of us with, that the three things that on a daily basis he wants us to focus on. And those three things are work, family, and his church. So let's start out this morning with a brief reminder of the historical context of the Psalms of Ascents. Now you'll notice from the historical title of the psalm that Psalm 128 is one of the Psalms of Ascents. The Psalms of Ascents are a series of psalms that were sung when the people of God were ascending the hill to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship him. Within the series of psalms, some of the Psalms of Ascents were written and sung during the kingdom era, when the people would ascend to Jerusalem to worship or to celebrate one of the feasts, like the Feast of Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And some of the Psalms of Ascents were written after the exile. That's after the people of God had left Babylon and then Persia and then returned back to the city of Jerusalem. We do not know exactly when Psalm 128 was written. We do not know who the author of Psalm 128 was, as we know the author of Psalm 127, which tells us it was Solomon. But as we look at its placement amongst the Psalms of Ascents, we can see that God inspired the compiler of the book of Psalms to place Psalm 128 right after Psalm 127 for a reason. Because as you see this morning, Psalm 128 is a companion psalm to Psalm 127. That means it complements its message when it comes to work and family in a very important way. For while Psalm 127, the psalmist is pointing out to us the lack of blessedness when it comes to work and family for those who do not know the Lord, Psalm 128 completes that message by describing the blessings that come to work and family for those who know and fear the Lord. And so let's begin this morning by looking at some of those connections between the two psalms, and then let's look at how they complement and are a companion to one another. Psalm 127 and Psalm 128, if you look at the back of your outlines, I put them next to one another so you can kind of follow these connections this morning. First of all, the mere vocabulary. As you look at the two psalms next to each other, you can see how the repeated vocabulary in the two actually sort of mirrors the two and connects them together. In Psalm 127, at the beginning of verse 3, you see the word behold. And then in Psalm 127, the first word of verse 5 is blessed. But as you go to Psalm 128, you see in reverse order those same two words repeated in the first half of that psalm. At the beginning of Psalm 128, verse 1 is the word blessed, and the first word of verse 4, the word behold. Behold, blessed, blessed, behold. A mirror image that shows a connection between the two psalms as they are placed in the Psalter right next to each other. A second way these two psalms are connected is the similar themes that we find in both psalms. The similar themes of work, children, and the Lord's city. Psalm 127, we read about work. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Psalm 128, verse 2, we read about work. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 4, speaks about children. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Psalm 128, the second half of verse 3, we read about children. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. And then verse 6, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. A third similar theme in both psalms is that both psalms then also speak of the Lord's city where his people shall dwell. Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord watches over the city, and in verse 5, he shall not put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. That's the gate of the city. Then in Psalm 128, verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. That's the city. Zion is the city, the Lord's city, all the days of your life. Zion is the name of the city of God on earth, where he dwells with his people in his temple, in the city of Jerusalem. It is the city of God's people on earth that points then to the eternal city that is now in heaven, where our Lord Jesus Christ now is, and where God's people will someday go. So that brings us then to the fourth and most important connection between the two psalms. We've seen the mirror image of the vocabulary. That's one thing. We've seen the similar themes between the two psalms. But this last connection shows how the message of the two psalms are a companion to one another and how they complement one another. And that's by way of the contrast between vanity and blessedness in life. In Psalm 127, the repeated vocabulary of vanity in the first verses describes the vanity of life when it comes to work and family. If you don't know the Lord, and you try to do these things and live out these things in your own strength, all you will find, the psalmist says, is vanity. Vanity defined as meaninglessness or frustration. Those are the Hebrew words that most commonly are applied to the Hebrew word vanity. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it will labor in vain. There it is the first time. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Verse 2, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. You see how the person described in the psalm who does not know the Lord, everything he does is in vain. His labor is in vain. He stays awake and watches the city in vain. If the Lord isn't there to know him and protect him, and when he works, rises up early, goes working late till rest, he eats the bread of anxious toil. He doesn't have peace in his heart. God gives to his beloved sleep and peace. Three times the word vain is used in Psalm 127 to describe what life is like for an unbeliever in the world when they don't know the Lord. Everything they do is in vain. The bread they eat on a daily basis as a result of their work, their income is eaten with anxious toil, no peace. Psalm 128, then, describes with repeated vocabulary, blessedness. The blessedness that comes to you in work and family if you know the Lord. Psalm 128, verse 1, blessed, there it is the first time, is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Verse 2, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, and you shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Verses 4 and 5, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion. Four times the word blessed or bless is used in the psalm as it describes the blessed man who fears, that is, knows the Lord. And so, now that you've seen the connection between the two psalms, you see how these two psalms are companions and complementary of one another, even in message, because of the contrast you see between those who live their lives in the world without knowing the Lord, and everything they do and work and family is in vain and no purpose. Psalm 128, then, teaches us that those who know the Lord, who are blessed in everything they do, in work and family, it has meaning. Because they recognize that those things are a blessing that has come from Him. Now that doesn't mean that the blessings of work and family are perfect for every Christian. We live in a world that is sinful, a world that God has cursed at creation after Adam's sin. Work and family will always have frustration and difficult times for believers. But what God puts before us in Psalm 128 is what it can be. Though you may like your job, every day you go to work isn't always going to be easy and a joy. For anyone who is single or from a broken family or marriage, the psalm describes for us in the Lord what a family can be. And even in a frustrating and difficult time for believers, it is not all vain and hopelessness. But for one who fears the Lord, even in those frustration and difficult times, even though we might look at the psalm and say, well, that's not my life, it doesn't fit me, the Lord hasn't blessed me in every way like this, the frustration and difficulties for the believer has meaning. You look at it and you say, this is not done in vain, but what I've been through in my life, what I wish my life was described in this psalm, I wish that was me. You look at it and you say, what have I learned? What has the Lord taught me? How can I grow? How can I seek to have these blessings more fully given to me? And sometimes the Lord leads us with only a, leaves us with only a taste of those blessings, and it leaves us longing for eternity, where those blessings, all the blessings of the Lord, will come to its fullness. Well, let's look then further at the details of our psalm, Psalm 128, at the description of the man who is blessed. Verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Everyone is who is blessed. That's what the psalmist is describing. Everyone who fears the Lord is blessed. Now again, keep in mind the contrast that's been made between 127 and Psalm 128. In Psalm 127, the psalmist describes that life in this world without the Lord is in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. But in contrast then, Psalm 128 now describes the man who is blessed. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Now, the Hebrew word for blessed is a word that is used throughout the Psalms. It is even the very first word of the book of Psalms in Psalm 1, verse 1, a familiar text to you. Blessed is the man. Same Hebrew word. And so the Hebrew word for blessedness indicates a state of being, a state of happiness in which the person in the Lord lacks nothing. The Lord has filled them with a life of blessedness and joy. And as the psalmist starts out with blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, he describes that relationship that brings about that blessedness. Now, how can it be that anyone who lives in this world that is cursed can be blessed in such a way that you feel like you're at a place of a state of being, not just once in a while, a state of being, of joy and happiness to be blessed that way? Because the verse tells us that blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. And what does that mean, to fear the Lord? In the Old Testament, it meant that you knew the Lord and His covenant promises. For the New Testament believer, it means that you know the fulfillment of those Old Testament promises that have come in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. It means that as a New Testament believer, you know that God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the offspring of the woman, to die on the cross, to take God's covenant curse upon Himself, and to pay for the sins of His people. And because He paid for the sins of His people in Christ Jesus, that curse from creation has been removed. The curse went upon Christ, upon the cross, when He died on the cross. And now those who know Him, who died with Him, who were buried with Him, who've been raised with Him, their lives in this world are no longer lived in vanity. The vanity of Psalm 127. Psalm 128 complements that psalm by saying, in the fear of the Lord, for the New Testament believer, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been now brought into a relationship with the living God. And if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, that means you know Him, you trust Him, you love Him, and you know His power, which is at work in your life. And then you live your life fearing Him. And the psalmist starts out saying, blessed then is everyone who fears the Lord. When you fear the Lord, when you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior spiritually, you are blessed with a state of being that the psalmist is using in that word. Joy and happiness in which in Him you lack nothing. Now keep in mind, this is not the message of the world in which you live. This is not the message of the flesh, yourself, your sinful nature. This is not the message of the devil. In the world, the flesh and the devil, they will tell you that if you want to find joy and satisfaction in your life, you find that outside of the fear of the Lord. But blessedness is found in not doing what you want to do. Blessedness is found in Christ Jesus. But the world will tell you the joy and satisfaction of this world is found in your work, in living out your dream and making a name for yourself. The world will tell you the joy and satisfaction in this world is found in living out and pursuing your own pleasures. And if you don't live that way, you may be mocked. Psalm 127 tells us that whatever you try to do and seek on your own outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be done in vain. It has no meaning. It will only lead to frustration and meaninglessness. But the blessed one described at the beginning of this psalm is the one who fears the Lord. And in the New Testament, that means you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are now in union with Him. That means you come to believe in Him. You know Him. You trust Him. You live your life on a daily basis in relationship with Him. And then you'll be blessed. Now, how then does it then, the psalm show us, how does it then show up, that fear of the Lord, in the life of a believer? The psalmist tells us at the end of verse 1. They walk in God's ways. Let's read it again in the context of the entire verse. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. And how does he do that? Who walks in his ways. You see, the psalmist tells us that the fear of the Lord is not only to believe in him, to know him, to trust him, to have a relationship with him. At the end of the verse, he describes it as a way of living. The blessed man is the one who walks in his, that is, God's way. All around you, the world is telling you, that's not the way to live. When it comes to work in this world, it's all about your goals, about what you want to do, about making a name for yourself, what you want to accomplish. How can you make a name for yourself? How much money you can make? Psalm 127 tells us, you will find that, if that's your goal, if that's your pursuit, vain and meaningless. When it comes to family, the world will tell you, you don't need to get married. You don't need to go through all that and the challenges that that may bring. You can pursue pleasure and the pleasures of the privileges of marriage in relationships outside of marriage. And if you don't, the world mocks you. But Psalm 128 tells us, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His way. His ways. That's according to God's word ways. It means you don't follow the world's way, but you live according your life according to His word and what is pleasing to Him. And because you fear Him, you know what God has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to do for you. What was His way? Isaiah 53, verse 6, describes His way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, we had at one time gone our own way. But the Lord then sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our iniquities, our sinful way, our sinful heart, fell upon him at the cross. As someone who fears the Lord, we are blessed in Christ Jesus when we now walk in his way. His way, the way to the cross. His way, the way to salvation and eternal life. When we walk his way and not our own way. When we walk in a way that shows us where our priorities are. Isn't that often the case? How we live, how we walk, shows us what we love, what we sometimes value more than Him, our sin. And no matter how tempting it is, it does not bring blessing and a state of joy in our hearts. Psalm 127 tells us it brings vanity and misery. But when we follow our Savior, when we live out our lives in fear of the Lord and walk in His ways, we will find the blessing that God has promised. That's what the psalmist tells us. as we read on in Psalm 128. Well, what are those blessings then? The blessings are described in verses 2 through 3. Now, notice again how God inspired the author of Psalm 128 in the first half of the psalm to enclose those blessings within an inclusio. In Psalm 128, verse 1, we read, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way." Then as you drop down to verse 4, you see the repeated vocabulary. "Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." You see the repetition. The man who is blessed who fears the Lord. It's about fearing the Lord. It's about the man who is blessed. And what are the blessings? The blessings then are found in between that inclusio, listed out one after the other. And as you look at those blessings listed, sandwiched between the fear of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord, we're reminded that each blessing goes all the way back to the creation. You might look at those blessings and say, well, why would the Lord pick out these? Because these are the ones that God blessed our first parents with at the garden, at the creation of the world. And these are the ones that when they sinned, the Lord specifically brought his curse upon them in these areas. And now, in this psalm, in the context of fearing the Lord and having a relationship with him and knowing that Christ Jesus, as a New Testament believer looks at these verses, knowing that Christ Jesus died on the cross and took the curse upon himself, we can see how in the fear of the Lord, in walking in his ways, God now takes these curses pronounced on our first parents and he turns them into a blessing in him. Without him, these things are in vain. But in him, these are blessings that come to God's people. He mentions in verse 2 that if you fear the Lord, you'll be blessed in your work. You will eat the fruit of your labor. You fear the Lord, verse 3, you will be blessed in your wife, your marriage. And if you fear the Lord, you'll be blessed, verse 3, the second half, in your children. These are the same blessings, as I said a moment ago, that Adam and Eve were cursed at with creation. They were given these blessings. The snake came along and told them not to listen to God, that they could do it in their own way. Adam and Eve, our first parents, did not follow God's way. And when they went their own way and sinned, God cursed the man, Genesis 3, in his work. God cursed the woman in childbearing. She suffered not only the pain of giving birth, but also the pain of her ungodly son, Cain, killing her godly son, Abel. But now, what does Psalm 128 say for those who have been blessed? What does the psalmist say for those who fear the Lord? What is the psalmist saying for those who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Verse 2, "You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hand. You shall be blessed. And it shall be well with you." If you don't know the Lord, Psalm 127 tells us, your labor in this world is in vain. It's cursed. That's what God told Adam in Genesis 3. But if you fear the Lord, if you know him, Psalm 128 tells us, you shall be blessed at times, eating the fruit of the labor of your hand. That means whatever your work is, in the Lord, you shall find some satisfaction in it. Adam's sin brought vanity and toil to man's work. God sent thorns and thistles as he cursed the ground. You may not enjoy your work every day, but because you know the Lord, your work on this earth is not in vain. It has meaning because you're serving the Lord as you do it, and he offers you blessings like eating the fruit of the labor of your hands. A second blessing described by the psalmist in verse 3, really in some ways the next two go together, but the first described in the first part of verse 3 is, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your home. Again, he's using agricultural imagery. First he says about your work, the fruit of your labor, that is, the ripening, the fruit, the blessing of the tree, the fruit of your labor is something for you to eat. In marriage as a believer, you're still a sinner. She's a sinner. Your marriage is not going to be perfect. But if you fear the Lord and follow His ways for marriage, you can be blessed with a wife, the psalmist says, like a fruitful vine within your house. Not a barren wife. Fruitfulness characterizes the home of someone who fears the Lord, someone who's blessed with children, someone much more than that, who is blessed and showing the fruit of a Christian life where you can serve God together. That's the last part of the verse, describing how together you serve the Lord with the blessing of children. Verse 3, the second part, your children will be like olive shoots around your table. The agricultural imagery of all three of these is to help us see and picture things in a deeper way. The fruit of the labor of your hands is the work, a blessing of God. A fruitful vine, the psalmist describes the wife within the house. And now the children are described as olive shoots around your table. The olive shoot, of course, indicates that the olive tree, reminds us, takes a long time to grow. An olive shoot is like a small olive tree, a child, around the table. The olive tree takes many years and time and patience and care before they produce fruit. And the children around your table, with a godly wife, it will take time to train and teach them before they produce fruit before the Lord. But eventually they will produce a fruit. An olive was a valuable fruit of the tree. In the midst of a world that is cursed by sin, these are the blessings that God gives to the man who fears Him and seeks to walk in His ways. And you say to yourself, but how do I do that in a sinful world? It seems like Psalm 128 is describing the ideal. But as one who fears the Lord and seeks to walk in His ways, it seems like I'm always falling short. And that's why the psalmist, you see, doesn't end there. He could have ended there, but God inspired him to go further. You look at the first part of this psalm, you look at what it describes, everyone who fears the Lord is blessed. My life, these areas of my life, perhaps they're a blessing, perhaps for others, they are a source of pain and frustration. But that's where Psalm verse 5 and 6 ties this all together and brings it home. Verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. What is the source of these blessings? It's described in verse 5 and later even in verse 6. The Hebrew word here for blessed is not the same word as the word blessed in verses 1, 2, and 4. But it's a synonym of that word, a synonym with a slight difference. While the word for blessed in verses 1, 2, and 4 focuses on the state of well-being, the synonym word for blessed in verse 5 focuses on the divine empowerment of that well-being and how that power comes to you. Verse 5. Let's read it again. The Lord bless you, that is, the Lord empower you, from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. In the Old Testament, Zion was referred to as the place of God's temple. The temple of Jerusalem, the temple of God, was in Jerusalem, the place of Zion. Jerusalem was the capital of the earthly city of God's people, where they worshiped Him in the temple. With the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's people do not have a temple anymore. Jesus died on the cross, ascended into heaven, and fulfilled the temple. He is now in the heavenly Zion. In the New Testament, there's no biblical city of Jerusalem anymore, but Jesus has ascended to heaven and is now in the heavenly Jerusalem. There's no city anymore where God dwells with His people on earth. God's presence is now found in His church. And so how does the power then, described in this verse, come to you? How does the Lord's blessing power, come to you from Zion? Again, let's look at that verse. The Lord bless you from Zion, and you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. The source and the power comes to you in the place on earth where in the Old Testament God met with his people, and in the New Testament now God meets with his people. In the Old Testament, it was Zion. It was Jerusalem. It was where his temple was, where the people came to worship God on earth. In the New Testament, it's in his church. And according to the psalm, how does the church prosper? With the blessings and meaningful work of the Lord. With the blessings of families that know the Lord. And the Lord will bless from heaven. And may you see the prosperity of his church all the days of your life. And the church will be blessed. You see, as in the Old Testament, the people went to Zion, Jerusalem, to the temple to worship God. And God's power came to them in their worship. God has blessed you with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is where you gather on earth for worship. And as you worship, as you hear the word read and proclaimed, as you lift up your prayers to God, as you participate in the sacraments, the power of God from Zion comes to you. All the days of your life that you live on earth, as you come to worship, as you gather, the power of God, his grace at work in your heart, that will enable you to understand and to greatly be blessed by the blessings described, that comes to you from Zion as you come to worship the Lord. Verse 6 goes on. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. That's a blessing, isn't it? The first part of that verse describing, may you see your children's children. It's describing a long life. For many of us, when we read that verse, we think children's children is referring to your grandchildren. You live long enough to see your grandchildren, you're blessed with a long life. And truly, that is the case. That is a blessing. But the second part of that verse goes on to say, peace be upon Israel. Israel is the name of God's Old Testament people. Israel is now the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are God's people. And God's people then, blessed with a long life, that know and fear the Lord, are blessed with peace. Psalm 127 describes living your life in vain with anxious toil, apart from God. But God's people who know him, who fear him, will live their lives, whether it's a long life, where you see your grandchildren or your children's children, or a shorter life. They are at peace because in Christ Jesus, God has brought peace to his people. Well, that brings us back then this morning where we started our sermon. What are the things you think about as a new year begins? In the time of a new year, you think about the future. And when it comes to the future, there's not much you can do about politics and the moral decline of the world around you. But Psalm 128 helps us to put our focus on where God wants our focus to be. Psalm 128 puts our focus on fearing the Lord, walking in his ways, and living out, according to his word, the blessings that he has given you. Work, family, and his church. Will each blessing be without its difficulties, without its frustrations? No. But in Christ Jesus, in the fear of the Lord, whatever those difficulties may be, you see and understand the meaning of it all and you are blessed with the portion of those blessings that God has given you as a blessing to your heart and life. May the Lord bless you from Zion as you live out these things in the fear of Him. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for your word and for the instruction from this psalm. Father, we see ourselves in the contrast of this psalm, recognizing those around us who live their lives in vain because they do not know you, and recognizing, Lord, the blessing it is to fear you, to know you, and to experience these blessings as we follow and live according to your ways. Father, we pray for those of us today that reflect upon our work. Father, it may be frustrating and difficult at times, but yet, Lord, you bless us that we can eat of the fruit of our labor. Father, we're thankful for the blessing of family, for wives and children, Lord. And we pray that you would help us as fathers, as members of the family, to be blessed and to live out these blessings each day in glory and praise for you. May, Lord, as moms and dads, our focus be to raise our children, Lord, to see them as olive shoots, Lord, that are growing and maturing in their knowledge of the Lord, seeking someday to live out the fruit of a Christian life in a world of darkness and sin. That, Lord, you may bless them with strength in the fear of the Lord, that no matter what happens or what takes place in the world around us, they may be strong and find a refuge in your people and in your church. And Father, we're thankful for the church, for the blessing of belonging to a church family that knows you, that each Lord's Day gathers together to hear your word read and proclaimed, that gathers to sing and give praise to you for the wonderful salvation that has come to us from Zion. Lord, to know and to worship in such a way that we recognize that the power of your blessings from heaven that come to us in this world by only a portion and not in fullness. Lord, they are there and present in your church. And may they cause us to long for that peace which has come spiritually in our hearts. But Lord, that peace that someday when we gather before you in heaven will be there in all its fullness and joy forevermore. Lord, may you bless us with this peace. May you grant us the knowledge of our Savior, and that, Lord, in him we may find peace and joy forevermore. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.